Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com. Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The road to genocide starts off with words, crude jokes, bullying, then vandalism and violence. We're in the middle of the smoldering ruins of our society after a prolonged outbreak of death and oppression, and someone asks, how did we get here? This is how, with the normalization of anti-Semitism, and that's what's happening right now. A study conducted by the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission found that Texas has seen a steady increase in anti-Semitic incidents in recent years, and we're going to dive into that report and discuss what can be done. Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Have you seen an increase in anti-Semitism? What do you think can be done about that? And you can tweet at us at TPRSource. Send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. This hour, we're joined by Joy Nathan, Executive Director of the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. Joy Nathan, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of this important conversation.
We're excited to have you. Also, Jackie Nuremberg's with us, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League in Austin. Jackie Nuremberg, welcome to The Source.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for this opportunity.
And Nami Iklavov is with us, President and CEO of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio. Nami, give me the right pronunciation.
It's Iklavov.
Iklavov. Yeah. Nami Iklavov, President and CEO of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio is here. Nami, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Joy Nathan, tell me about this report. Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission came out with a study on anti-Semitism in Texas, and what you found is eye-opening.
So our commission, first, the mission of the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission is to combat and confront hatred, prejudice, and indifference by educating all Texans about the Holocaust and other genocides in an effort to dismantle anti-Semitism and prevent future atrocities. We are a newly constituted commission. Our state had a previous Holocaust and Genocide Commission, but under a legislative process, and as our decision makers and lawmakers saw the rise of anti-Semitism, our commission was reconstituted in May of 2021 to include anti-Semitism in our portfolio. And one of the first tasks of our commission was to issue a report on anti-Semitism, really to dive into what's happening in our state and to provide that information to our legislature. We'll be doing this in even numbered years so that there's an understanding of the history of anti-Semitism, what is happening in our state, and then what are potential recommendations to combat it. And so that report was issued in December. It's something that you can find on our website, www.thgaac.texas.gov. Again, www.thgaac.texas.gov. But essentially, we interviewed as many institutions as possible in our state, outside of our state. I'm pleased that not only Jackie and NAMI, but other organizations around our state participated in the study that we conducted. And as you said, we found alarming amounts of increases in anti-Semitism. And so we've offered some recommendations to our legislature on how to combat what we're seeing in the rise of anti-Semitism.
Jackie Nuremberg, Regional Director, Anti-Defamation League in Austin. In Austin, in the report, there's laying out what happened with an arson at a synagogue in Austin. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So 2021, Austin and surrounding areas saw an alarming rise in anti-Semitic activity from flyering by extremist groups and culminating October of 2021 with an arson at Beth Israel Synagogue. And the damage that was done to that sanctuary It's still not functioning. So that community has been living without its sanctuary since October of 2021. It was the most alarming anti-Semitic incident in recent memory in Austin.
How has that shaken the community there?
Well, the community is definitely on high alert now. We've had a group form called ATX Kind, which are concerned parents about anti-Semitism and concerned with protecting their children. It is hard to say whether one causes the other, but we've also seen a rise in incidents in school bullying since then. And so we get reports from parents, from teachers, sometimes from students themselves. Some of that could be a result of knowing about anti-Semitic incidents and then sort of a copycat or a opening of a door to act out that way. And some of it could be coincidental, but we've definitely seen a rise in incidents. And in fact, between 2020 and 2021, we saw a rise of 450% in anti-Semitic incidents in the Austin area.
Nami Ikhalov, how do we make this real? At the solutions, and we can talk about this all day long and say this happened, this happened, this happened, all these horrible things happened. We've got to figure out, what do we do now?
So I can tell you that in San Antonio, along with other communities in Texas, we're lucky enough to have a Holocaust Memorial Museum. And when the students come through the Holocaust Memorial Museum, they not only learn about the history of the Holocaust and history of anti-Semitism, but we always challenge them at the end of the experience with the question, now that you know, what will you do? And I think that really speaks to the fact that there's a lot of individuals in our society who see anti-Semitic acts taking place. There's a lot of people in our society who understand the dangers of anti-Semitism or Holocaust denial or any of the things that sort of go along the themes of Jew hatred. And very often, those individuals don't know what to do, don't want to become sort of part of the pecking order and possibly be bullied, as was earlier just mentioned, or be, you know, worse targeted. And so Elie Wiesel, after the Holocaust, mentioned that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And so what we need to do is really educate our community and engage our community in understanding that the only way for us to be able to attack this is together. This can't be a Jewish community problem alone. This can't be left to Jews trying to defend themselves. This can't be left to synagogues becoming fortified entities. And, you know, a synagogue, like any house of worship, is supposed to be a place where the doors can be open, where individuals can come at leisure when they need the most, you know, when they need that help or that assistance or that sense of spirituality. And when we have to put guards in front of our doors, armed guards, or we have to put up additional fences, or we have to put up layers to deny people access to their house of worship, there's a problem in our society, not just in the Jewish community. And so we have to be able to, you know, which is a lot of what the Jewish Federation of San Antonio does, and we do it through our JCRC, our Jewish Community Relations Council, but it's build relationships with our partner organizations, with our interfaith community, with our neighbors, and with anybody who really wants to make a difference in our society.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Have you seen an uptick, an increase, a spike in anti-Semitism in Texas? What do you think can be done about this? This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. We're going to be back after a minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. So we're discussing a growth in anti-Semitism in Texas. What can be done about that? And our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Joy Nathan, Executive Director of the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. What are your thoughts on why this is happening? Why has this gotten to be, as you say, it's the worst it's been in 40 years. What's driving this?
Well, a great question. From our point of view, anytime that there is political changes and environmental issues and economic problems, there seems to be a tend and a rise of anti-Semitism to occur. And that's really what's happening in our world today. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this also happens to be Holocaust Remembrance Week. So as we talk through how to combat anti-Semitism, one of the key factors in the Holocaust was anti-Semitism itself. And so this is a week that an opportunity for K through 12 to learn about Holocaust education in schools. So that's something that we partner with the San Antonio Museum, with ADL, with the other museums around our state, so that teachers have what they need, the resources available to be able to talk about the Holocaust, et cetera, this week.
Naomi Ikhalov, President, CEO of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio. Why do you think things have gotten so worse?
So I think Joy just tapped on some of the high points in terms of the challenges. But what we see is when individuals are frustrated, when regular citizens become frustrated with the economy or whatever the cases may be, they often look for someone to blame. And the Jews historically have been that group that have been easy to target. We're a small minority of the society. We often are targeted because of age-old stereotypes and tropes that have existed throughout the centuries. And so it allows somebody to make themselves feel better if it's somebody else's fault rather than take ownership of a responsibility for their position or their situation in life. I think today we're really in a time where we're seeing anti-Semitism and Jew hatred, we're seeing it more normalized, which is really the difference in years previous, the community, people in positions of authority, maybe even role models in the media would take a stance and they would try and eliminate that and stop it in its tracks. But I think today it's happening so frequently and it's touching people's lives in so many different ways that it's becoming very difficult for anybody to sort of stop each case the way it's happening. And so we as a society are becoming more desensitized to it, which is a very dangerous place to be. We know throughout history that once the Jews are attacked, it doesn't happen too long after that other minority groups are attacked and history has demonstrated what happens after that.
Well, I mean, we can think about it that way, but I also think the whole society falls apart. Even if you are part of the dominant group, you're going to suffer in the long term because you're no longer living in a full, robust, legitimate democracy or free society. When any one group is going to be demonized and their property will be taken away, people put in camps, people executed for being who they are. How does anyone want to live in a society like that? And the first step towards that is with these horrible, awful words that seem to be spreading like a virus on social media seems to be one of the reasons why I think this is gotten worse. And I'd love to hear Jackie Nuremberg, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League in Austin's, your response.
Yeah, I'd like to expand on what Joy and Naomi were saying, that this is an age-old prejudice. It's probably the oldest prejudice in the world. And I also want to mention that the Jewish population is really tiny. So some of these tropes about Jews controlling the world or setting the new world order are pretty ridiculous when you look at the mathematics of it. But it's also anti-Semitism is used as a political tool. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've seen a rise, this really alarming rise in anti-Semitic activity has to do with its use as a political tool. When you know, elected officials or people running for public office mention somebody like George Soros, it's sort of a dog whistle that alludes to the fact that Jews must be behind this. And so once that enters the public mainstream, the public conversation, and then is exacerbated by something that is new, Nami was saying that this is unprecedented, and it's true. And I think that social media play a huge role in exacerbating that problem. And the more that people isolate what they hear and read on social media, the more likely those ideas become more ingrained in what they believe about Jewish people or any other group of marginalized people who tend to be scapegoated.
I'm going to go to a voicemail that we got, and let's give it a listen.
Hello, my name is Miriam Sobre. I'm a professor at UTSA, and I actually just published a book on what it means to be Jewish in the United States in this present moment. And what that book is really about is demystifying what it means to be Jewish and understanding the differences among Judaism as a race and ethnicity and religion, spiritual identity, and cultural identity. And one of the things the book also deals with is recent rises in anti-Semitism. And one of the, there are two ways I think that I discuss in the book that we can make a difference in terms of reducing anti-Semitism and really generally lots of oppression against non-dominant groups. And part of that is, as I noted before, demystifying, just teaching people what being Jewish means, and that there are a lot of Jewish people and a lot of people with Jewish ancestry and heritage who probably don't even realize that they're Jewish, or people who don't realize that they're working with somebody or they go to school with somebody who is Jewish. So just having the conversation, meeting people, learning more about what Jewish identity is very helpful.
All right. Joy Nathan, what do you think about those possible solutions, getting people more comfortable, more familiar with the Jewish community?
Couldn't agree more. I think it's important to not only, as I mentioned before, educate our youth, but educate the whole community about Jews, to engage in a greater dialogue. That's some of the work that our commission is focusing on, raising our visibility, connecting to more of our museums, our universities, providing volunteer opportunities, assisting with commemorations, providing speakers, whether it's to a church or synagogue, any sort of organization that wants to learn. We want to be that connecting body so that we can have these important conversations to learn and to combat anti-Semitism.
Naomi Ikhalov?
Yeah, I think that Dr. Sobre is right on the, you know, she hit the nail right on the head. You know, one of the things that we as the Jewish Federation does is our Jewish Community Relations Council just had a Shabbat across San Antonio. It was Shine the Light Shabbat. And it was a Sabbath where we invited Jewish families across San Antonio to actually open up their doors on Friday night to non-Jews in the community and be able to have a conversation about Jewish practice, Jewish dialogue, to be able to make those connections and really engage the community in a dialogue that is about what is true about Judaism versus what people might be seeing on the media or on the net. So I think that the opportunity for the Jewish community to continuously build those relationships. I can tell you that, as Joy Nathan mentioned earlier, the flyering of communities. San Antonio probably receives hate flyers in different communities across San Antonio, probably on a monthly basis, maybe even more frequently. And we often get phone calls from the community who are absolutely up in arms and disgusted with the flyering that takes place. But that's an opportunity for us to build relationships and to be able to educate the community, because you know what? They wouldn't be doing it if one or two people every time they flyer didn't pick up the phone or contribute to the organization that is spewing those hateful speech. If it didn't work, the hate mongers wouldn't be doing it. So our job is really to sort of proactively engage in those opportunities rather than reactively.
Jackie Nuremberg, Anti-Defamation League in Austin. So we have a small group of people who throw out these flyers and put them on people's driveways. We have one individual who sets fire to a synagogue. We have a handful of people spreading hate and misinformation online. But should we think about it as these are the just a few people who are just they are exaggerated because of what they do and what they say? But do we have to also look at how maybe they feel like in the current climate they have been given a green light in order to do this activity, that they are seeing signs from parts of our society, people like Tucker Carlson on Fox News, Alex Jones, Dave Chappelle, Kanye West, Nick Fuentes, telling them, yes, go do it. We support you.
They're absolutely being emboldened by these public voices and celebrity voices. It makes it much easier and much more normalized to act on this behavior. To your earlier point, they are a minority of people who are doing these things and acting out on that behavior, but we have something called the Pyramid of Hate, the Anti-Defamation League developed many years ago, and that is the different levels of hate and how one can lead to the other. And so we really, even if it is a minority of people, we really cannot ignore that, because if you ignore this kind of behavior over time, and it happens very slowly, over time it becomes normalized, and pretty soon it's too late. And I think Joy and Naomi both mentioned that this is associated with political instability, economic instability. It is a harbinger of more serious things that are happening in terms of our democracy. They tend to be tied. So we do have to take it very seriously, and especially in this climate now where it has been green-lighted, and then the flames of anti-Semitism and other kinds of racist behavior have been fanned by social media.
Joy Nathan, what to do about people who traffic in this type of rhetoric? I mean, should they be visiting former presidents and having dinner with them? How do we show our disdain and our disgust?
The opportunities with this anti-Semitism study is that it allows us conversations with our elected officials. And as part of this, we are educating up and working with our Texas legislators to understand the need for more education, to understand anti-Semitism, and then to bring this awareness to their constituencies, many of which have no, very small or no Jewish population there. So it's really an opportunity to engage in a dialogue of what it means and how to combat some of these instances.
And so Naomi, you want to follow up on that real quick?
Yeah, look, I think that our legislative branch in Texas has done an amazing job. In particular, I want to thank Senator Menendez for spearheading Senate Bill 1828, which is the reason why we have Texas Holocaust Remembrance Week this week. If not for legislators like that who are trying to help improve our communities, help improve our society, it doesn't give us the opportunity to continue those kinds of conversations. I think the study on anti-Semitism in Texas that was just put forth by Joy and her team is a critical piece in how we're going to move this conversation forward.
Our phone lines are open. We want to hear your take on what's happening with anti-Semitism in Texas. Have you seen an increase and what is happening, and what do you think we need to do in order to respond? And what are your concerns as anti-Semitism continues to become more normalized by some people? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we're going to be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're discussing anti-Semitism in Texas, a new report, a study on anti-Semitism in Texas prepared for the coming this legislative session says that we're at a 40-year high in anti-Semitism violence and rhetoric, and it's happening around us in our society. We're joined by Joy Nathan, Executive Director of the Texas Holocaust, Genocide, and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission, Jackie Nirenberg, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League in Austin, Nami Ikhlov, the President and CEO of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. It seems to me that there's things happening around us all the time that are anti-Semitic, and sometimes people don't really see it that way. Maybe they kind of is diffused or disguised. And Jackie Nirenberg, so you're the daughter of a Holocaust survivor, and I want to ask you about this guy, Congressman George Santos, and he's saying that his parents are survivors, and it just seems like him lying about that. It seems like another way of trying to just diffuse the truth about the Holocaust. And what is your reaction to all that?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, at what point is it just lying for the sake of political gain? And at what point is it the agenda to diminish or to deny that this ever happened? I think that, that kind of rhetoric is so dangerous and so normalizing of anti-Semitic behavior in general, because it trivializes the experience of those who did survive the Holocaust. And to be able to, even if he's just using it for political gain, it's a devaluing of a very serious, very generationally impacting experience. People who are children or grandchildren of Holocaust survivors tend to carry that weight with them. I know that it has been formative in my life in the way that I see the world. And it's a heavy burden to carry, and it's a heavy responsibility to make sure that that legacy and that memory is alive and well, and that people continue to learn from it. And when it is diminished by something like the lie that Santos told about his, it just diminishes that incredible, an important lesson that we need to share with the rest of the world and continue to share it so that people, it's not just about Jewish people. It is about the danger that all marginalized groups face when in times of unrest and when, the populace is looking for a scapegoat and when there are politicians who want to fan those flames of hatred. And that can devolve very quickly into a very dangerous situation.
Well, Nami Ikhlov, there are people who lie about the Holocaust. They say it didn't exist or it's been blown out of proportion. There's nothing, although that's a complete and total fabrication. It happened. It was horrible. And we got to remember that it could happen again if we are not careful. To someone lying about the Holocaust, even like the people who were comparing being COVID vaccinated to the Holocaust and wearing the Star of David and their protest against the vaccines, that's just always, it seems like to muddle the truth by mixing it, conflating it with things that have nothing to do with it, seems to be just to devalue the truth. And about this topic that people are already lying about. I mean, so what is your take on that?
So ironically, in 2021, when the hate group sort of came from out of state and it settled in into some of our cities in Texas, we had an event at the Holocaust Memorial Museum of San Antonio, and Chief McManus, as well as Senator Menendez, as well as Mayor Nirenberg, they were all at this event at the Holocaust Museum. And while this event was taking place across the street, this hate group sort of encamped themselves, and they were holding up signs that said the Holocaust never happened, it doesn't exist, and they were just generating sort of, they were trying to rile up the crowd. I can tell you that upon departure, we let the group know that, you know, everybody sort of went away and didn't give them their audience that they were looking for. But I couldn't help think that entire afternoon that as the grandchild of Holocaust survivors, my maternal grandparents were both Holocaust survivors, their entire families killed during the Holocaust. I couldn't help but think that if my grandfather was alive and would have been present at that particular moment in time, he would have absolutely gone up to those individuals and had a physical confrontation. Nobody would have been able to hold him back because he would have needed to be physical with them. Now, I can't condone being aggressive in any way, shape, or form. Certainly, one should defend themselves if they're ever aggressed upon. But for individuals that went through that kind of an experience, even lesser than that, the fact of the matter is nobody ever wants to go through that again. And so for him to have wanted to eliminate those individuals who are lying, who they're spewing their hatred, I can say that I definitely had a crisis of conscience. How can I let them continue to spew their hatred on that corner in San Antonio in the light of day, while at the same time being able to sort of commit to educating our constituencies, making sure that there aren't any children who, as they grow up, will be drawn to those lies. It's a tough place to be, and unless you've gone through it, it's really hard to explain. There are Jews who every day experience some kind of hate. Our schools we work often with public schools in San Antonio because there are children who are bullied upon because of their Judaism. There is a particular teacher in San Antonio who every year on Yom Kippur schedules a major exam in high school. And is it coincidence that it's every year different students, but that we always get a phone call from a Jewish student in town? Hey, how can I get around this? And we help facilitate those conversations and we do it. But this particular teacher every year does this particular exam on this particular day. We got to address it. We have to stand up and we have to say, not in our backyard.
So, Joy Nathan, Executive Director, Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. What do we do about people who are trying to antagonize us? They want to be social media viral stars. They want that confrontation. We want to draw people's attention to these knuckleheads and the hate that they're spreading, but we don't want to give them what they crave, which is attention. What do we do?
Right, exactly. It's a fair point and a hard point. I think what we want to do is we want to educate those who can be educated, who want to be educated. We want to have those important conversations, and we want to shut down any of the naysayers, any of the deniers. We don't want to give them any credibility. When issues occurred, whether in school settings where there were questions in Texas about teaching the other side of the Holocaust, our commission immediately responded, but we didn't respond publicly. We responded privately. We went right to the administrator and had a conversation about what it means to teach Holocaust. We didn't want to embarrass the person. We wanted to ensure that they had the tools needed to be successful, and for the teachers and really for everyone not to be afraid to be able to stand up when they see wrong occur, to be able to say something, to be able to act. But again, we don't want to give too much credence or attention to those who are distracting. We just put together a list of tips for educators to help them with Holocaust Remembrance Week. You can find it on our website. And then it really goes through some of the guidelines for how to instruct on Holocaust, what's appropriate with each grade level, what resources are available. We use a lot of guidelines from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum to help with teachers. We also ensure that we want to resist the temptation to blur distinctions between victim groups, because there were many who were part of what happened in World War II, and we want to acknowledge the various victims, but also tell the story of the murder of 6 million Jews. And again, as Nami and Jackie pointed out, really language and use of language is critically important. And so, you know, our strong recommendation is to speak up and to speak out and to work with those who are interested in being educated to combat this hate.
Jackie Nuremberg, this is happening right as there are bans on books like The Diary of Anne Frank going on in schools.
Yeah, that is really frightening. And, you know, schools are where we're going to make, to jump off of what Joy was just saying, I mean, schools education is where we can make the biggest difference in anti-Semitic attitudes, but also just racism in general and bigotry in general. And so the Anti-Defamation League has a program called No Place for Hate, and we work with public schools. They get a designation as a No Place for Hate school, and do activities, and we provide resources for teaching anti-bias behaviors, learning how to spot bias, learning how to understand bias in yourself. And these are all age appropriate. But yeah, it is probably the only way that we're going to make a long-lasting difference is by educating our kids.
Taking a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's really being said when some politicians are talking about ending the separation of church and state. What's really being said when they say America is a Christian nation? Who suffers when that political agenda somehow gains traction? And we want to hear what you got to say about that. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Let's follow up a little bit more about what's happening in our schools when it comes to the banning of things like The Diary of Anne Frank or the graphic novel Mouse, and the tallying to teaching of what happened with the Holocaust and why it's important that we teach children that this is real, it happened, and it's impossible to understand how horrible it was, but to give them some idea of what's entailed. And Nami Iktavlov, can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the study on the anti-Semitism in Texas is really important, and the legislators taking action on it is really important. But you know, I want to be here on this radio program and call on Commissioner Morath. At the end of the day, if the schools are not addressing hate in their classrooms and preparing the teachers in how to be able to handle that, and in particular anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial, then all what the legislators are doing is a little bit for naught, because if it's going to be in the classrooms where we are able to really address how to be able to become, for Jewish children to be able to become normalized and part of the environment. You know, we have at the Holocaust Memorial Museum resources for teachers. We have trainings for teachers. We have resources for parents who homeschool their children. And we really, you know, we as the Federation can reach out to our local school districts, and we can reach out to our local regions from TEA. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't come from the top down on what does it mean to honor Texas Holocaust Remembrance Week, what is the responsibility of a teacher in the classroom to be able to do something for their students? If they don't know, then they end up saying things like, well, we need to teach both sides of a controversial topic. And there is no second side to the Holocaust. You know, they just don't know how to be how to be able to take those teachable moments and apply them in the classroom. And that's what we would really like to see. We'd really like to see TEA do something about this and really be able to provide a better guidance for the faculty and administration in the school settings.
Joy Nathan, Executive Director, Texas Holocaust, Genocide, and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. Is there confusion? Are teachers not getting a clear message that they need to be teaching the Holocaust it's not a two-side issue, that this is something that is clear and defined, but they're not getting that message?
Well, it should be clear and defined. And if it's not, we're going to continue to make it so that it's clear and defined. Because as Nami mentioned, in 2019, under the direction of Senator Menendez and Representative Reynes, Holocaust Remembrance Week was established, Representative Raymond. And so this is an opportunity for K through 12 to learn about Holocaust and Holocaust education. And there are many resources that are available. And our commission is one of many institutions that is willing, able, and tasked with assisting teachers and working with the TEA and the Texas State Library and Archives Commission to develop and ensure that standards exist across our state so that there isn't any confusion about how to teach the Holocaust and what works in various schools. And what we do as a commission is we are tasked with reviewing, we're tasked with ensuring that the resources are available and making recommendations. And so from there, schools can decide, teachers can decide, districts can decide what is appropriate for them to teach. So it's not prescriptive in nature. There's many excellent curriculum available for schools to look at. So we want to clear the way of any confusion. If it exists, we want to prevent that. And we really just want teachers to be able to teach this important topic.
Jackie Nuremberg, as we talk about the rise of anti-Semitism in Texas, there's also the rise of Christo-fascism, people who say that America was a Christian nation and we need to get back to that, and that there is no room for any other faith or culture in America. That has traction. There are people in Congress right now that they subscribe to that. How do we push back?
Well, and that is super alarming because that is exactly what started to happen in Europe in World War II and in other times throughout history when one group tries to sort of take control at the expense of other groups, right? And so the education of children is extremely important. Children also go home and talk to their parents. So that's one thing we can do. Fighting for the separation of church and state. We had a report from a school in Central Texas. The music teacher had been showing a video to kids. I believe they were, it was elementary school, young kids, that was about the story of Jesus. And you know, when somebody reported it to us, we reached out to the school, and the principal didn't think that was overtly religious or othering, that there was no issue with separation there. So a lot of it is education. A lot of it is education, not only of the children, but of teachers and administrators as well. Some of it is just lack of exposure and understanding of what it means not to be Christian in this country. And some of it is just a denial of a constitutional right to not have to be, the victim of being oppressed by another religion in a public setting, whether it's prayers at the end of meetings or at the beginning of football games or, you know, whatever it is, it may not seem like a big deal to people who belong to the majority, but it's a huge deal to children who are left out, othered, and shamed for not being part of that majority.
So do we draw a hard line? Do we say that if you are a politician and you traffic in this type of rhetoric or you associate with people who do this, you show up and you speak at events that are clearly anti-Semitic, and should people say that is just you've gone too far. That's out of bounds. I can't support you. You know, I don't care about the tax cuts. I don't care about your everything else you say. This is something we cannot go with. I mean, is that what you need to be thinking about, Nami?
So, look, I think everybody has their threshold, and I think everybody has their non-negotiables. And, you know, for the Jewish community, I think that when somebody openly in public forums stands there and spews anti-Semitic rhetoric, it's very difficult for a Jew to come around and say, okay, we happen to agree on this issue, we happen to agree on this issue, and I'm just going to sort of accept the fact that you're anti-Semitic on this particular issue. I think when it comes to people who espouse hate, those kind of individuals tend to also demonstrate behaviors across their lives. They might be liars in other areas. They might just, it might not be just the Jewish community that they're espousing their hate towards. Maybe behind closed doors, they're doing it towards the other Latino or marginalized or Black or any other fill in the blank group that happens to be a minority or discriminated against. I think the fact is that we have to, as a society, start to hold people accountable for what they say. And we have to understand that if they're saying something like that against one group, in all likelihood, they're saying it like that against other groups that they are not part of. That's my take on it.
Well, Joy Nathan, we have Tucker Carlson on the air on Fox News saying he's warning about the great replacement theory. This is something that we have a hip hop artist like Kanye West, who's also saying extreme things about the Jewish people, and Nick Fuentes, who's hanging out with him. He just says things to be inflammatory, but this is part of his repertoire. How do we, push back? How do we say? I mean, I don't know about you are on the cancel, stuff, but how do we hold people accountable?
Well, I think what we note in our study is that anti-Semitism is coming from the left, right, center. It's coming from everywhere. So we have to acknowledge that whichever group we ascribe to, there's likely somebody in our camp that is speaking these words of hate, and they need to be confronted immediately and directly. And so that's part of having these kinds of resources available, and why I so appreciate this conversation, to educate more people on standing up, on understanding the tropes of anti-Semitism, and really just to engage in an understanding and a dialogue of what it means to stand up for and protect the vulnerable.
Jackie Nuremberg, as we saw in Austin, synagogue set on fire by an arsonist. We've seen, violence. We just don't want more of that. Sounds crazy to have to just say that, but how do we, it starts with words. People have a freedom of speech, have a freedom of expression, and we don't want to interfere with that, but also we have a freedom to say, I'm not going to support that. How do you do that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do that. I mean, your vote is your biggest way that you can exercise your beliefs, right? And so we do have to hold people accountable. We have to build coalitions with other marginalized groups and allies in non-marginalized groups to stand up together. And I think that there's strength in numbers, and a multitude of voices are louder than one. So it's really important that we all reach out to one another, be there for each other when things happen that affect whichever group. We should all be there for one another and speak in a very loud and unified voice against this kind of behavior. And I think that if we do that in numbers, that's going to be the most effective way to send the message that we're not going to put up with that kind of rhetoric anymore.
Everyone shouldn't put up with that type of rhetoric anymore. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish. This is something that impacts us all. I want to thank Joy Nathan, Executive Director of the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission, Jackie Nuremberg, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League in Austin, and Nami Ikvilov, the President and CEO of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio. Thank all of you. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Dallas Williams and Megan Halbadir Moore, with production assistance provided by Mark Hutchison. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.